Hannah Esther.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I like the email. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure.
We're waiting for somebody else to come online.
Okay, no worries.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoah. Anabakoah Gedula Chemincha.
Ruby.
Halofed Gimel Yud Tah Tzadi. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora. Kufrei Shayan Sentet Nun. The letters of the month of Kislev. The Gimel that created the planet Jupiter, the planet Tzedek, the planet of righteousness. And the Samach that created the constellation Keshet, the rainbow or the bow. The astrological sign of Sagittarius. Together the Samach and the Gimel have a gematria of 63, which is a number that connects us to the energy store of Bima. Na gibor dorshe yehudcha kevava shamrem. Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. Barchem tacharem ratame sikacha tamid kamrem. Betet Reish, Tzaditav Gimel. Hasin Kadosh, Ero Tucha, Nael Adata. Het Kuf Bet, Tet Nunayan. Yachid Gehe, Lamcha Penei, Zohre Kedushata. Yud Gimel Lamed. Zion Kuf. Shabbatenu Kabel Ushmati Akatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadiyuta. We have brought the energy of creation into our space through the singing of the Anabakoah. We're now going to separate between the positive and the negative aspects utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum Bechanun, Erech Apayim, Berav Chesed Be'emet, Notze Chesed La'alafim, Nasea wom bafesha, bechata'a vinakei. Now we're going to read the verses that we read that connect us to the energy of the years, starting with this year, 5777, the year of the goat. The first verse is Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 52. Tzod saduni katsipo oyevai chinam. The first letters of these five words can be parsed into three Hebrew words. Tzatz ki yach, appear like brothers. And the final letters can be permutated into two Hebrew words, Dir Yam, a sea of tenants. Both of these translations and these five words we've created connect to the energy of the year 5777, the year of the goat. Also connecting to the year of the goat is the verse from Joshua chapter 23, verse 8, because this verse has the name of the year concealed within it. The four letters that spell the name of the year, Dashin, Ayin, Zion, are separated by seven letters each, concealed within this verse. Kim Badonai Yohewahe Elohechem Kadabaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. Now the year 5776 also has two verses that connect to its energy. 5776 is the year of the pause. Whenever you need to be feeling overwhelmed, feeling out of sorts, feeling out of control, you need to take a break, to take a pause, say these two verses, the first of which is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ha'yulimat v'lo yachlu lehashit et kol ha'olot v'yechaskum achechem ha'levim ad kelo tam lacha v'ad yishkachu ha'kohanim ki ha'levim yishrei levav lehit kadesh. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letters of these 25 words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohewahe La La He Wa 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 Yo La Yo Ala Me Hey 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 Aka Are Kacha. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidhu ba Adonai Yohewahe Adead Ki biya Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Sur Olamim. There are three verses that connect to the year 5775. The year that swallows death forever. Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni lo tarpeni ad biliruki. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavoiya. Asher yitchabe sham mushabtem Eilai el nachon Wehalakti yitchem Wechayayim yeshno Varetz vechipasti Oto bekol alfei Yehuda. And the third verse for 5775 is Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved roav yomru ayo. There's one verse for 5774, the year of peace in the Middle East. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom leamil Yisrael untati vishakan ta'ata v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto ka'asher barishonah. We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar, from Parashat Yitro, Pasuk 29, and this parashah connects us to the energy of certainty. And we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudsha barifu ishkinte bitchilu urchimud chilu chilu urchimud. V'yachta l'shem yud hei bevav hei. V'yehuda shlim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu pananei aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu pananehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tane Nan Dekucha Barichu Kolma Diaved Leila Witata Kolaihu Kishot Yovada Deep Shot Velet Lachmila Bialma Divae Barnash Vadahya Leya Mineya Ulanhaga Beya Kalana Dehakulu Ovada Big Shot Inun Wikola Itzterith Bialma. We're going to scan the 72 names of God at this point. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. The Tzaddikim who left today, which is the 4th of Kislev, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Kulevsky, the Admor Yaakov David Kalish, Rabbi Eliyahu Kubo, Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Margolis, Rabbi Yaakov David Kalish, Rabbi Yaakov Mordechai of Stratton, and Rabbi Abraham Shmuel Stern. And the 8th verse of the Ana B'Koach we say in a whisper. Today's class is the second part of the first introduction to some of the teachings from Rabbi Isaac Luria. You can find his landing page where you can get to the handout for today. In row 13 of the matrix, the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, the second column from the left, the teachings of the Ari. When that opens up, you can click on, I believe it's the second link where it says Yehudim Part 1A. And that will open up where we left off last week. The above essay, what we read last week, is part one. We start the second part below, hopefully having contemplated the name Chavaya, seriously. And I hope everyone spends some time this week in the meditation and in the contemplation of the name Havaya based on what we discussed last week. There is a recording of that. Some people said they had some difficulty with it, but other people have found it useful and are able to reach it. So if you're not able to reach it, let me know. It's on the recordings page, like all of the recordings have been recently. Continuing to read. The name Havaya, therefore, is used as the symbol of visualization. The name itself is said to be the doorway to higher realms of consciousness and to enlightenment. The visualization on the name that brings with it profound results. Rabbi Chaim Vital outlines how the name is to be visualized in his Sefer Sharai Kedusha, which is also on the Ari's landing page. And as we have time, we will share that information as well. One must separate from the physical and raise his consciousness from level to level until he reaches the seventh level of Aravot. Upon Aravot shall you picture a great white curtain, and written upon it is the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, written in thick block Hebrew. Each letter is large as a mountain, white as snow. Start by uniting the letter Yud with the letter He, then He back with the Yud, Vav with the He, then the He with the Vav, then the Vav with the final He, and lastly, the final He with the Vav. An unwritten commentary to this paragraph. In our Sefer Yetzirah class, we learn which five vowels to utilize in these combinations of two letters. And if you do want to learn that material, it's available online if you want to read it directly. I don't recommend that. I recommend that you have a one-on-one class with myself if you're interested in learning it. You will notice the use of color in this visualization. The colors are very significant and do not stop with black and white. Indeed, the colors in which the letters of Havaya appear in one's mind are said to be indicative of one's spiritual stature. In his Sharei Ruach HaKodesh, section 4a and b, Rabbi Chaim explains, one way for a man to know his sins is to meditate in his mind on the four letters of the name Havaya, written in block Hebrew in Asherit script. This is the meaning of the verse, I have placed Havaya before me always. When one meditates on the name, if he has sinned and thus blemished any one of the four letters, then that letter he will not be able to meditate upon clearly. He can thus know the source of his weaknesses. When meditating upon the name, if the letters appear as if written in black ink, know that this one's soul emanates from Asiyah. If the letters appear red, then the one who sees such emanates from Yetzirah. If the letters appear white, that soul emanated from Bereah. If the letters appear not only white, but also glowing and sparkling, this soul emanates from Atzilut. By this can a man know to which level his soul clings. In this way also a man should meditate on the name Havaya, as if placed in every organ or member of his body, be it his face, his hand, etc., If there be something lacking of the letters in this, a specific area, the man can then identify his sin. The true and highest way of perceiving Chavaya in meditation is to see the name as a burning fire. If one perceives the name as such, then that one is without blemish and is complete. As we have learned, Havaya is the general composite form of all creation. Each person created in the image of Havaya contains this composite form in full. As Havaya can be categorized as 5 worlds and 10 sephirot, each consisting of, 5 worlds and 10 sephirot. So every human, too, has written within them 10 sephirot, divided into 5 worlds. Although all levels are in us, our consciousness is not necessarily comprehensive of all 5 at once. The purpose of Merkava meditation is to expand the scope of consciousness to include all levels from the ascetic nefesh up to the absolutic chaya. Meditating upon Havaya in its specific applications allows the absolutic sephirotic influx the ability to reverberate itself in each of the individual 10 sephirot of the person, as well as to reveal the present level of personal consciousness. By meditating upon Havaya, one is able to distinguish not only his level of consciousness, but his individual blemishes as well. If while meditating upon the 4 letters Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, the visualization of one or more of the letters is not clear, this is considered an indicative symptom of a spiritual blemish or misalignment. Many times a letter will appear warped, crooked, or just hazy of focus. If by natural relaxation without force, one has a problem visualizing an individual letter, this needs to be investigated. If there is a problem with focusing on the final he of Havaya, then the problem is within the realm of his relationship to the physical world. Since the he is also the Shekhinah, a problem in focusing or unusual activity here may indicate a problem of relating to the I within, which is the Shekhinah. A recommitment to stringency of halakhic observance, introspection, and self-evaluation would be greatly helpful here for one to harmonize with the inner self. For if there is an observance of halakha of the oral Torah, of which one is not complete, it will show here in the hay. If there is a problem with focusing on the vav, know that this indicates misalignment in the emotional center, the 6th sephirot. It may also mean a sexual blemish, being vav is the male, zeranpin, the sign of the covenant. Again, extensive exercise to achieve self-control is recommended here. The recitation of Tikkun Chatzot, the midnight prayers, and the recitation of the Shema Yisrael prayer at bedtime are particularly auspicious and helpful in rectifying any sexual blemishes. If there is an observance of halakha, of the written Torah, of which one is not complete, it will show here in the vav. A problem focusing on the first hay indicates one has performed an incomplete teshuvah, an incomplete return to Hashem. For the first hay is Ima, mother, the Sephirah Bina. the world of Bria, the source of the Neshama. Even when one acknowledges one's I, continued realignment is necessary to further the Atzilutic Sephirotic influx. Since this is channeled via the Bariotic Neshama, it is from here that images of progress will be perceived. A problem of focus here can also indicate misalignment of one's thoughts or intellectual faculties. One with this problem should make special efforts to pursue Talmudic study. Studying the works of Maimonides, especially his Guide to the Perplexed, is helpful here. This text greatly assisted Rabbi Abraham Abulafia in his pursuit of the spirit of prophecy. A problem visualizing and focusing on the Yud indicates not allowing the full flow of the Atzilutic influence. It can also mean a misalignment with Havaya in general. This might indicate that one re-examine his entire commitment to Israel, Torah, and Havaya. For as we are taught in the Zohar, Havaya, Torah, and Israel are one. One experience this trouble will best be helped by their study of Kabbalistic and Hasidic texts. The Sefer Baal Shem Tov, the Meore Naim, and the Kitvei HaRizal are texts that I will recommend. The I in this case is Rabbi Bar Sadak. These texts have the ability to enable one to open their psychic blocks. They are usually readily available in Hebrew bookstores. Unfortunately, these are not available in English, other than small translated sections in many works, and in the works of a few other authors. If there is a blemish in one area, it will show in the others. Remember that the revelation of these blemishes is all transitory in nature. They do not necessarily manifest in a continual, steady manner. One-time visualization may be fine, and the next time not so. If this occurs, look for continuing patterns, and by this we can establish a precedent of exactly what is happening. A one-time visualization experience is not enough. Do not be alarmed if any of these things appear. They are supposed to. Merkava meditation is a means to an end, a path to follow. If you think you are perfect and complete, don't follow the Merkava. But if you have recognized that you are not yet complete, the Merkava meditation will help you identify the areas that you need to work within and upon. Continuing to read. Every path requires growth and development. Remember, stability and self-trust are required here. Proceed steadily, but slowly. Havaya will not hold back good from those who walk in purity. All of this must be taken in context with the larger picture of the general five worlds. For not only when a letter is blemished can we ascertain an individual's problem, but also by the color and shape of it in general. And it can be a perception that will be perceived as to what general level one is perceiving and where in that level does a problem exist. That paragraph may not be clear as it is written, but experience will prove it to be true. Continuing to read. Remember, every world has 10 sephirot, each having five worlds subdividing into infinity. When meditating and visualizing Havaya, we can recognize general and specific categories of levels and blemishes. Asiya is the realm of the physical. As such, it is the farthest away from the light of En Sof. Visualizing Havaya in block script form with firm black letters is perceiving Havaya through Asiatic consciousness, which itself deals with the rigid, physical, mundane matters. By opening oneself to more emotional expression, one is able to advance beyond this level. Again, great efforts in self-introspection must be made. If one perceives Havaya in red or green letters, this is indicative of a state of yetzirotic consciousness. Here the emotions are represented by the right side and the left side columns in interplay. Red would indicate severe nature of personality, maybe implying that one is overly strict in religious applications. Green would indicate the opposite, an over leniency towards matters of the Torah. Again, review of attitude and commitment are helpful. We are taught that the holy name correlating to the Sefirah of Bina is Echieh, Asher Echieh, I am what I am. We are taught that as I am to myself, Sahavaya, the great I am, will be towards me. In other words, Havaya will reflect back to us our own level of being and consciousness. Devotion and desire are the tools for furthered success. If one visualizes Havaya in white letters, yet solid and stable, this is indicative of baryatic consciousness. White represents the unadulterated purity of the higher self. At this level, one can start to experience one's higher self-consciousness. Reassuring oneself of being true to the path of one's own inner nature. Here, an awareness of the surety of action and being is perceived, allowing the security of knowing that the truth is near and on target. Once the letters glow or burn, maybe a twinkle and start to move around like a mist or spirit, or like the crackling of fire. This is Havaya in Atzilut. With this brilliance of perception, one can not only know his own inner being, but receive a glimpse of Havaya's active being as well. It is said that if one can perceive and maintain this level of atzilutic perception, one is without blemish and is complete. My commentary. If you are pursuing an intellectual level of development in the Kabbalah, feel free to proceed forward in this document. If you want to truly impact the unity of all things, then only proceed past this point if you have spent time with the Havaya meditation described above. If you are not clear as to which you should do, write me an email and describe the letters in the last 10 meditations of the Havaya meditations you have performed. Please understand that the Merkava meditation described and discussed below can be harmful to a personality with character traits that are not healthy, as described by the actual experience of the Havaya meditation. I want to stress that sentence, this last paragraph. Consider the reading of it this morning, the connection this morning is all safe. This is not doing the Merkava meditation It's describing it. And the meditation is an experiential. It's not an intellectual process. So there's no harm in reading forward. The harm, God forbid, comes in the meditation if you are not yet ready for it. If you don't approach that meditation with trepidation, you're not yet ready for it. Continuing to read about the Merkava technique. One technique of visualizing the name was popularized by Rabbi Chaim Vital and has been adopted by all later Kabbalists. This isn't the technique entitled the Merkava. The Merkava is the word used to describe the chariot vision of the prophet Ezekiel. The technique entails visualizing the name Havaya with its correlating vowels, never pronouncing the letters with the vowels, to the 10 sephirot. Each sephirah and name being visualized corresponding to a certain body part. According to the Tikkuni Zohar, the 10 sephirot correspond to the 10 parts of the body, and this will be detailed shortly. In Rabbi Bar Sadok's book, Yikra B'Shemi, which is out of print, I outlined the entire Merkava system in English and gave detailed instructions for its use. And as we will find, we have been using this Merkava meditation within the Ana B'Koach from the beginning. Yet we've never used it in its proper manner as outlined here. The name Havaya must be visualized in all its appropriate forms and pronunciations. I just heard a noise from my phone, so it's possible I disconnected. If you're able to still hear me, please unmute yourself and let me know.
You didn't disconnect.
Hanon, I hung up and called back, but I can hear you now.
We can hear you.
I can hear you.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to read again.
Thank you. I'm continuing to read. The name Havaya must be visualized in all its appropriate forms and pronunciations in each of the areas of the human body where it specifically reverberates. This is performed by visualizing each specific attribute, each specific sephirah of Havaya, over or upon each specific part of the body. And I am adding, up to now we are doing this within the Ana B'Koach meditation using the Tikkun HaNefesh. Normally we do not take the time to do this meditation slowly enough to notice colors and letter shapes, since we are using a printed document. When doing the Merkava meditation, we must visualize, not see a paper. In each body part, Havaya will be perceived differently. In one area, the letters might appear in one color. In another body part, the names might appear in a completely different manner. This reveals to us how our physical or our astral body is reverberating Havaya in that particular organ. By this observation, we can pinpoint a specific blemish or level of reception, rectifying and elevating it. In this manner, we can elevate our entire physical body to be a throne, a Merkava for Havaya consciousness. My inspiration for presenting this material in this format is Rabbi Chaim Vital. The famous Ben Ish Chai of Baghdad also recommended this. He ordained that the Merkava meditation should be used by everyone. In his halakhic work, the Ben Ish Chai outlines the meditation. I will here include the entire text from the Ben Ish Chai. I am certain that if the Ben Ish Chai had wanted to keep this practice a secret, he would not have published it in a book of daily halakhot written for the layman. These outline from the Ben Ish Chai was in Hebrew only, so I did not include it here. But what the Ben Ish Chai does outline has been taught with hints through all of the teachings of the Anabah Koach. This meditation is now so widely received that variations of it appear in many Sephardic Siddurim, most likely due to the influence of the Ben Ish Chai. Here then is one of the many charts that originated with the writings of the Ben Ish Chai. The link that is here is the Tikkun HaNefesh that we have been using teaching for the last number of years. I'm not going to take the time to go over that, as we will do so whenever we have that next class in the basic classes, because we're about to go over that second part. And when I say the second part, this is the part that I've never really spoken about as teaching the Anabah Koach prior to this. And we're not going to do it today either. I'm going to delay it one more week to give people a time to consider what's written here. Excuse me a second. In some Sephardi Siddurim, the Merkava, as outlined by the Ben Ish Chai, is recited as a prayer. The following is the original in my translation of the Merkava prayer, as it is found in the Bet David Shlomo Siddur, published by the Bakal Press in Jerusalem. Before we could say this prayer or do this meditation properly, we first must become aware of the halakha. What we have been doing up till now is fine. It's not something that will be harmful to anyone, and it's something that can benefit everyone. But we are moving into a higher level, and for that we do need to become aware of the halakha. The usage of holy names is a very serious matter. Never are the holy names to be recited out loud, even while reciting prayers. The letters and vowels of the names are to be visualized in your mind. Their sound is to be repeated silently, never audibly. If you wish, you may mouth out the sound with your lips, but be careful not to utter any sound. I am adding that Rabbi Abraham Abulafia will add head movements reflecting the actual vowels if one does mouth the sound. And I will give you a personal practice. Whenever I am scanning the Zohar, or in effect scanning Hebrew letters, I am mouthing something. I'm moving my lips as if I was speaking. This has been always my practice from the time I was first taught my first connection to Kabbalah. I cannot tell you where this practice originated, but every teacher who ever observed it always told me to continue it. But they've never said that to other people. So I suggest you try it. If you feel foolish, continue it until you no longer feel foolish. Understand what you're doing when you mouth, what you scan. The eyes in your head are the level of Chachma. That's what you're using to see the letters. Your mouth is the level of Malchut. You are unifying wisdom, Chachma, with manifestation, Malchut, when you do this action. The prayer translation from the Ben Ish Chai. Master of the universe, behold, I am prepared to make my body a Merkava for the Shekhinah, in order to unite the Holy One, blessed be He, in His Shekhinah, which is the union of Havaya and Adnut. Yud Aleph Hey Dalad Nun Vav Hey Yud. In awe and love to unite the letters Yud Hey with Vav Hey, in perfect union, in the name of all Israel. To start within my body, there are three general Havayas. My two eyes are two Yuds. My nose is a Vav, Havaya. This, numerically, is 26, the number of the first Havaya. My head is a Yud. My body is a Vav, Havaya. And my two hands are two Hays, each hand having five fingers. This is the second Havaya. The tip of the penis is the Yud. The penis shaft itself is a Vav. And the 10 toes are on my 2 feet are the two Hays. This is the third general Havaya. Now to specifics. My skull is a Merkava for Keter, whose Havaya is voweled completely with the Kamatz. That's box number one on the Tikkun HaNefesh. My right brain is a Merkava for Chachma, whose Havaya is voweled completely with the Patach. That's the box number two. My left brain is a Merkava for Bina, whose Havaya is voweled completely with the Tzere. That's box number three. My right arm is a Merkava for Chesed, whose Havaya is voweled completely with the Segol. That's box number 11. My left arm is a Merkava for Giborah, whose Havaya is voweled completely with the Shiva. Box number 12. My torso is a Merkava for Tiferet, whose Havaya is voweled completely with the Cholam. This is box 13. My right leg is a Merkava for Netzach, whose Havaya is voweled completely with the Hirik. That's box 14. My left leg is a Merkava for Hod, whose Havaya is voweled completely with the Kibbutz. That's box 15. My sex organ, my covenant, is a Merkava for Yesod, whose Havaya is voweled completely with the Shiruk. And that's box 16. The crown of the Vav is my covenant, and the tip of the penis, or the clitoris, and is the Merkava for Malchut, whose Havaya is without vowels. That's box 17. And I am adding, my teacher taught a slightly different body part relationship, which is on the chart that is within the link above, the Tikkun HaNefesh that I have provided for you. If you're not clear about these differences, you can write me a question and I'll help to explain it. There are further correlations being given, but with people who don't have the knowledge of Hebrew, it's too difficult to translate into English. In his book, Yikra B'Shemi, which is out of print, he writes, to meditate upon Havaya, this is the initial practice to follow. After one has become relaxed and is breathing deeply and rhythmically, meditating upon the letters, their images and sounds with each breath, one can then proceed. It is now appropriate to recite the Merkava prayer so as to familiarize yourself with the practice. After the prayer, with eyes either opened or closed, begin to visualize the letters Yud Hey Vav Hey. At each step, meditate upon Havaya, its specific spellings and sounds. Continue rhythmic breathing. Allow your mind to free associate as long as you keep the image and sounds of the letters clear. Proceed at your own pace. Do not rush. Let Havaya be your guide and show you enlightening things about your own body, as well as the great body of Adam Kadmon, the pattern of the universe. This exercise is a source of great learning. Traditionally, the Merkava is diagrammed. The meditation, instead of being recited as a prayer, is simply visualized and its meanings contemplated. Now, there's a second link at this point, and I'm going to open it up and describe it to you. It basically has the name Havaya with the vowels from the appropriate Sefirot connected with the Hebrew word ani, Aleph Nun Yud, and integrated, unified with Havaya. What you're doing with this meditation, which you can do as part of what we've described up till now, this meditation allows you to climb the tree of life. Starting at the bottom, and then level by level, see what this meditation does. See what the colors are. Remember, the I is you. Havaya is Hashem. When you unify yourself with Hashem, you're going to be shown many things. You're going to experience many things. Understand what you are being shown. The colors tell you. The letters you're not able to visualize clearly tell you. Everything in this kind of meditation is a hint to you about your status, where you are in your growth, in your spiritual level. Now you'll notice underneath the olives of Ani, there is a it looks like there's two vowels under the aleph. The two dots are not taught usually, unless you're taking a Hebrew grammar class. My understanding of those two dots is it's to tell you it's a short vowel. So instead of saying, and you wouldn't say this in this meditation, but if you're saying the word ani, you would say, you wouldn't say ani, you'd say ani. You shorten up the sound of the aleph. Whenever you see this, these two dots or the two vowels expression in the Siddur, you'll see that the word of that particular letter is shortened in its pronunciation. Returning to the last paragraph as we can close our class, I pray that by making this material accessible, that it will become widely used. May it assist those of you who are religious to become more Yirat Shemayim, to have greater awe of heaven. May it assist those of you not yet fully observant of Halakha to experience Hashem and thus come to know the importance of following His Torah. That is the end of the class. Are there any questions?
Hanoch, I have a question.
Go ahead.
I don't know if I misunderstood, but when we do this, do we start at the bottom and work our way up?
Do you start at the top of a tree or at the bottom?
Bottom, I would think.
Well, I don't know anybody who's able to jump to the top of the tree and then climb down.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Classes this coming week. There will not be class this afternoon, as I mentioned. Monday at 4:30 is a mini Zohar class. Monday at 7 o'clock, the class will be an essay by Rabbi Ashlag. Tuesday, 4:30 is a mini Zohar class. Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we can continue our class in the Tikkuni Zohar, both Aramaic and in the English translation. And you can read on the Tikkuni Zohar landing page and elsewhere about a discounted sefer, discounted book of the English translation if you're interested. This is being provided by the author of the translation, who is supporting this dissemination of his material. Wednesday at 4:30, a mini Zohar class, and at 7 o'clock will be our questions and answers series. Thursday at 7 o'clock will be advanced reincarnation. Excuse me, that's at 7:30. And that's Eastern time, I apologize. It's 4:30 Pacific time. On Thursday will be a class in advanced reincarnation. And at 7 o'clock will be a Zohar class on the Parasha of Vayetze. No class on Friday. On Saturday, we have Havdalah at 6 p.m. And at 7 p.m., we have a new Zohar for the new week, Well, it's our first opportunity in the new energy of the week to connect to the Zohar. And this will be the Zohar on the parasha of Vayet Vayishlach. And next Sunday, we will begin our preparation for the holiday of Hanukkah. Are there any questions?
Yes.
I bid you all.
Hanok.
Yes.
I have a question. It's just regarding to the Zohar. If we don't have like the time to read the whole parasha in the Zohar, what do we do? Can we take, you know, certain passages or, you know, because sometimes it's very long. And, well, myself, I haven't been able to read the whole parasha in the Zohar.
They're long Zohars, because there's a lot of wisdom in them. But
yeah, it is.
Scan them. You can scan a whole book in 2 hours, and you can split that up in 10 minutes a day.
Oh, okay. Because I usually do the scanning and then I read the commentary.
Oh, so you have a desire to abuse yourself?
I don't know. I mean, it's been so interesting that I get caught to do that. So, and things have happened to me, you know. Wow.
Why do you think the Daily Zohar only sends out 2 or 3 verses a day? Because generally people get caught up in the energy. So, you know, he's limiting that aspect. If you want more, he has created the other websites to go to for more. I do it in a different way, which is giving you the English translation. But I also teach you that whenever you learn the English translation, you're limiting the energy.
Okay. Okay.
So if you don't have time to do both, the primary is to scan or read the Aramaic.
No, I understand. But you know, you always get curious about what the paragraph said in the translation. But it takes time. And then you try to comprehend it, and then you get caught up in trying to comprehend, and it takes forever. Then I mean, it's just
Jasmine.
Yes.
I do understand. I've experienced exactly what you've experienced, but I also stress what the Zohar teaches us. And you've heard the adage that you never know where it came from. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. You've heard this adage, haven't you?
No. Well, yeah, yes.
Well, the source of this adage is the Zohar. The Zohar teaches us curiosity. Is it a good thing or not? Is it coming from the Yetzer Hara or the Yetzer Tov? The evil inclination or the good inclination? It's up to you to decide. Sometimes it will be from one and sometimes from the other. You need to decide. You just don't accept. Because it feels good, I'm going to continue to do it.
Okay. Well, that's why I'm asking you, you know.
I understand. And that's why I'm giving you a non-answer that's an answer.
Okay, I have a question, too.
Go ahead, Hannah.
Okay, it's kind of similar to Jasmine's. Whenever you do the scanning of the Tzaddikim and the 72 names and the Tzaddikim, you always finish before I do. So what I'm wondering is, what I've been doing was looking at each triad pattern. Are you just moving your eyes from right to left along a whole line? Is that why you're finishing this for me?
Correct.
Okay, you don't have to focus on...
I have a different need, a different consideration. There are people who find the first 15 minutes, which is what it takes us to do the Anabakoach the way we're doing it now, and the verse of the Zohar. There are people who find that initially, until they learn about energy, till they start to feel the energy, whatever their particular issues are. I've had many complaints over the years of people who say, why do I need to go through all of that? Because they don't understand. So I do this as quickly as possible in consideration of those people who have difficulty understanding and specifying it. When I'm doing this by myself, you know, I probably take about an hour to do that process. But the reason I'm doing it faster is, yes, I scan the 72 names from right to left, line by line.
Okay.
And as I do that, my mouth is moving. And it's going to be faster than most people do it, because they're concentrating on each three letter sequence.
Well, I found myself, I might get, you might be finished when I've got maybe two lines left. And so I run my eyes very quickly to catch up. And I just wondered if I was losing something by doing that, but it sounds like it's not. And then when I do it privately during the day, then I can do it by triads if I... Okay,
if you need,
thank you.
If you have the time and you feel the connection.
Right. Okay, thank
can
you.
Can I say something, Hanok?
Of course, Jasmine.
Well, what I feel is like sometimes when we're doing all what we do, the Anabakoa and the other prayers, and you know, we get like we take it for granted after a while. I mean, it's like the Anabakoa is not the same as the as it was when I first learned about it.
So do you think there's something
I don't know.
Wrong in that?
Hmm?
Do you think there's something wrong in that?
Well, I guess because we're supposed to have the same awe from the first time, I guess. I don't know, the respect or concentration or, you know, that's what I'm trying to say. And it gets kind of scary for me because I don't really want to take it for granted, like I'm doing it like, oh, I'm 41, you know, doing it every time.
May I comment on that?
Please, go ahead.
Okay, when I get to that point sometimes too, and when I do, I switch over to saying the letters with the correlated vowel. And then I find that maybe the next time I'm back to doing the whole thing. And, you know, so that's what I do when I get that feeling. It's not very often because I find myself humming it or singing it throughout the day. And I have to be careful because it's like automatic. And so I have to be sure that I say the Baruch Shem because I might not do the whole thing. But when I do feel like I'm not connected, I just began to do the letters, and printed those letters and laminated a card, and I put it on my coffee table. And so when I get that way, I just grab my card and do. I feel like it's like a meditation, but it's an out loud meditation.
Understand.
Is that okay?
Thank you.
I don't think it's wrong, but I would like your comments.
Let me give you information that my teacher gave me, and it's going to be roundabout answers to what you both said. Understanding the spiritual system, it's really very simple. You're given a gift, something you haven't earned, a taste of spiritual delights, of spiritual pleasures. And then that goes away and you have to earn it. You have to do the work to move to the next level, to grow spiritually. And the analogy that my teacher gave was to ask a simple question. We all have experienced the smell of a new car. Jasmine, please mute your phone. You've got background noises.
I will. I forgot I was not muted.
I understand. So my teacher asked a simple question, and we've all experienced the smell of a new car. And he asked, why does that smell of the new car go away? And then he proceeded to explain, what was the mistake that Adam made? It wasn't to take a bite of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. That was not his mistake. His mistake was the second bite. His mistake was not saying no once he knew what the pleasure was. Why does the new car smell go away? Because it becomes second nature. It becomes normal. But it doesn't have to be, because that's all about your consciousness. When you are losing the excitement or the feeling of the energy, or however you want to verbalize it, it's up to you to recover that, however you do. The simple answer that most Kabbalists will give you is focus your attention on the letters. Focus your intention on what you're doing. Stop being a robot. As we all do robotic things throughout the day. I've explained a number of times how the start of a sentence that I am about to say, I may start that first syllable of the first word, but the rest of the sentence is flowing automatically. It's robotic. It's just the movie playing out. But if you ask a Kabbalist, they're not ever playing out a movie. They're focusing and they're conscious each instant of each day of binding by striking, of stopping their reactions. So what they do is constantly putting themselves in connection to the Creator, to Hashem. And you do that how? Through binding by striking. The Hebrew word is zivug dehaka'a. Zivug is sexual unity, sexual unification. Haka'a means striking. That's where we get the translation, binding by striking. And that's up to you. If it's robotic, if it's second nature, if it's not important, it's just rote behavior, you're missing out on a lot. And it's up to you to recover that. Are there any other questions?
Hanukkah, I do have a question.
Go ahead.
The 72 names of God, I know we scan them, but is it not appropriate to, if we do it at another time, to say each one of them out loud, or are we just supposed to move our lips?
I read you the halakha about names, didn't I?
Yes, and that's why I'm asking if it's the same with that, with
that halakha,
well, I guess it is if it is the names, yes.
That halakha applies to all names of the Creator.
Okay, thank you.
Rabbi Bar Sadak says that it is okay to say the letters of a name with the root vowels, but do so with awe, not robotically. I wish you all a beautiful week, a week of peace, and a week of shalom, shalem, completion. Have a beautiful week. Shalom.
Thank you, Hannah. Shalom to all.
Thank you. Shalom.